Let's get started. So, it's good to see quite a few people, hey? Yeah? I think, what is it? Nightclubs are opening tonight? So one more good deed before you go out, hey? Just joking. Okay, so it's kind of interesting to, just for myself anyways, just being asked to give a talk here tonight, and I haven't done it many times, but I'm just going through my thinking process of, what happens in my mind when I'm trying to give a talk, or thinking about what I'm going to talk about. And I've come to the conclusion that I'm a terrible planner. I'm thinking, oh, what should I talk about? Should I talk about this, or talk about this concept of Buddhism? And you can talk about the deeper states and talk about what the Buddha, all this. And my mind just like, it doesn't work that way. And I've just learnt to learn how to just accept the fact that just the way my mind works. I'm not a type of guy who would just pick up a book and just trying to read it and get more ideas about Buddhism and then come out here and then talk about it. I just don't do that. So I was thinking, just during the meditation, what to talk about. And the one thing I like about, just talk about Buddhism really, because that's why you guys are here, just to learn about Buddhism. And it's in a sense is a religion that's taught many, many years ago, and the monks teaching here, we sort of like bring it to the 21st century, and we give our own take on it. And if you look at the history of how the Dhamma has been taught over the years, the Buddha never said, my Dhamma is the only Dhamma. You have to teach it my way. If you go back into the text, you understand that, you got teachers like Ananda and, Sariputta and all those great masters. And they, in the time of the Buddha, and they gave their own spin or their own ideas of what the Buddha's teachings are. And it's basically the same, but it's said in a different way. And to me, when it comes to the Buddhism, what I like about it, it's practicality. How you can incorporate these teachings into your daily lives. And I was just like, just the thought that was just coming through my mind was the Buddha talked about right livelihood, and it just basically what it's saying is it's just the type of life that we're living, like living right now, who we surround ourselves with, what we put into our minds, what we talk about with other people. That's right livelihood. And these teachings of the Buddha, they're there for a purpose. They're not there to just tell you what to do, but they're there to let you know that there are certain results that come from these teachings. And what we're trying to make for ourselves is a life which is more happier, yeah, a life which is a lot smoother. There isn't too much conflict going on. And if you think about what the Buddha taught, all his teachings are pointing in that direction, in the direction of having a freer mind, having a happier mind. and, you know, right livelihood, you know, how you live your life, you know, what do you do in your day? It's very important. And the environment that you live in is a great contribution for your well-being and happiness. Don't you think so? and if you look at it, it's like you know, people like to go to stay with Ajahn Brahm in Bodhinyana Monastery, but they don't want to stay with me in Gosnells. No, <I'm sorry>. Because. But you know, if you stay with me in Gosnells, you probably end up laughing like me. That's not such a bad thing, is it? Anyways, so right livelihood, putting yourself in living circumstances plays a huge part, I think, to your well-being and happiness. And yeah, like, you know, if you ever get the opportunity to live with somebody like Ajahn Brahm, which most of you men here still can, you can take that opportunity and see what an environment which is geared towards, you know, a simple lifestyle, people just treating each other, you know, treating each other in a manner where we respect one another's happiness, and we treat each other understanding how sensitive this mind is. The mind is really sensitive. You know, if you say something to somebody, which you're watching whatever you see on the TV, people screaming and yelling and all that kind of stuff at each other, and it seems to be perfectly okay and acceptable, and people don't get affected that much by what they see on the television, and they think that happens in life as well. But if you look at life and look at how sensitive our minds are, then you'll start to understand that when the way we treat each other, we have to be, be mindful about it. Yeah. Because, you know, if you call me fat, if you call me, my feelings are going to hurt, right? Because the mind is sensitive. It hurts. So that's why, in an environment which has been like Bodhinyana Monastery, a teacher like Ajahn Brahm, he teaches us a way to live our lives, a way to treat other people, and a way to protect our own minds. And like, I always like this idea, is like, if you protect yourself, you protect other people. If you want to spread like kindness and love to the world, you got to learn that yourself first. You're like, how can you really be genuinely caring about other people if you don't know how to do that yourself? So this idea of meditation is always like looking inwards. You're looking inwards. You know, you're in a monastery, just go back to your room. I mean, you may have a few distractions because, you know, we're still human beings. But we spend a lot of time just looking inwards and trying to understand our minds. And like, in order, like, for us as human beings, we want to make a positive impact on the world. Then we have to start from within, yeah? If you want to be, you know, if you want to be kinder, if you want to be caring, and if you want it to like come out in a more genuine manner, then you have to start from within, work on that, And then you can go help the people around you. And it's just like the practicality of the Buddhist teachings is, you know, one of the teachings they talk about is just as like friendliness and loving kindness towards like all human beings to the best of your ability. Like I was saying earlier, you know, sometimes in the monastery we don't really get along with each other, but we're cordial. Hello, how you doing? See you later. I'll see you tomorrow. Chat to you again. But we don't, you know, it's not wholesome to trigger somebody's like emotions with the intent of like, you know, just like hurting them. And that's not the right way to live. We try to avoid doing that as human beings. And whenever we interact with human beings and other people, we always get taught that, you know, it's your intention, which is most important. Your intention to just create a sense of harmony within the place that you're living in, with your family, with your partners. The intention that, you know, you care for their welfare, even though you may get into arguments. But, you know, you get over it and you know what is important when it comes to, like, living with one another or living in a small community. And, like, I always say, you know, we're actually living in a, we got, like, a rental at the moment because we're building the Stocker Road property and there's just, like, three guys in a house. And some, yeah, you just got to be careful, because if you upset somebody, then they may not be able to let go. They may hold a grudge, and it just makes the environment difficult to live in. So as you know, practitioners, at times we have to put aside what we really want to do for the happiness of like the group. You know, and in the same way, you know, whatever situation that you're in, whether it's a marriage or even with friends, sometimes the harmony is more important than being right. Or sometimes the harmony is like more important than, you know, trying to be the boss. So it's a skillful balancing act when you think about it, to be able to live skillfully and happily in this world. And as you see, as you see, you know, our minds are, you know, is always like up and down. Sometimes it's happy, sometimes it's unhappy, and you know, we can't really do anything about it. That's just what life is like, and what we've learned in Buddhism is learning how to accept life for what it is. Like everything is good enough, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, you may think that, you know, monks sit up here and we don't suffer. Yeah, we live in the modern age. We got heaters in our kutis now, so we don't suffer from the cold. We don't have to have cold showers. But everything's fine. You live with a wonderful teacher like Ajahn Brahm, so you have no problems in the world. You're in the brown robes, so everything should be okay. But that's not true. We still have our, somebody said once, we still have our farts in our minds. And so our difficulties are different from your difficulties, but difficulties are pretty much the same. You may have, I don't know what kind of difficulties you may have, is like maybe for a husband and wife, turn down the husband's like, turn down the heater, it's too cold. And the wife's like, no, keep it up. you know, those kinds of difficulties. You get into little arguments. you get ticked off at each other. Or, you know, it may be at work. Maybe at work, the kids that you have to deal with. Or maybe it's old age. The bones are hurting a bit. And, you know, every one of us in this room, we're in the same boat. We have our difficulties. And what we've learned over the years is just learning how to accept it. Saying to yourself that it's good enough. And what that really is, it's good enough. You're not wanting things to be different. You're accepting them for the way they are. And you know, accepting them for the way they are. Because sometimes, you know, when you have, like when you're in a lot of pain, you know, that pain doesn't really go away. You can take a lot of medication. You can see therapists, chiropractors, or whatever. You do what you can to alleviate it. But if you can't, then you get to a point where there's nothing else to do but to accept it. And I think that's like, you can apply that to you know, everything, that you, any difficulty that you're going through in your life. You don't give up. You don't, like, in a sense, you don't give up straight away. And, oh, life is like this. Arjun Santuti said, life is like this. I'm going to accept it and suffer from it. But instead, do what you can to fix it. That's the nice thing about, you know, is like, it's a peaceful religion, but it's also active religion as well. So do what you can. Do what you can to fix it. Yeah. If your marriage is like breaking a little bit, do what you can to fix it, because divorces cost a lot of money. Or, you know, whatever's happening, you have your difficulties at work. You know, you don't shrug it off and just allow people to use and abuse you. Just do what you can, you know, to fix it. And if you can't fix it, then you learn how to accept it. Because what else can you do? You can either accept it or you can either fight it. And like, if you accept things, they lead to a more sense of like contentment, a sense of ease, you know, a sense of acceptance, which brings the mind some peace, some clarity. So if I didn't accept the fact that I'm fat, then I would suffer. If I didn't accept the fact that I was fat, then I wouldn't be able to eat ice cream. But if you look at the other side, the other side of like acceptance is like fighting the situation. You know what I mean? Like becoming the fighter. You're fighting a battle that you can never win. And that's, what does that lead to, all this fighting? It just leads to more like strain in the brain, more frustration, you know, more difficulty. Yeah. It's just like that's the causal link. Like our life is like things just linking up one moment after another. When you do something, there is a result. And like I was saying earlier, if you have that, you know, if you're able to learn how to accept whatever's going on in your life, the result of that is a more peaceful, a more contented life. But if if you want to fight, you want to change things, you want to will yourself to make things different, then you're just like, I don't know, you know, fighting against the world. And, you know, the world is always bigger than you, always stronger than you. Or fighting against nature, that's even more accurate. You know, nature, the nature of the body is always sick. Or fighting the nature of the mind. Why does the mind get upset? You know, why does it feel sad? Fighting against nature. All you end up with is more, just more suffering, yeah? Just more hardship, more difficulties. Yeah. So, yeah. How was everybody's life going during this COVID? Not bad. It's good to see people out. What is it? Tomorrow is stage 4, is it? Yeah, so you can go to a restaurant and drink a cola standing up. The restrictions are lifting and life is becoming normal again. It's a whole new experience for us, just to be just the fear that comes with like getting sick, and also the inability to do stuff. It challenges us, but it also sort of teaches us that hey, this mind is adaptable. And we were forced into a situation where we had to learn how to accept and learn how to change. And just understanding that the mind is adaptable. You can go to many different places and just, you know, just fit in. And just like cruise on with life. So we're working on the Stocker Road project. I might as well talk about it. it's just amazing to see all the help that we're getting, even though this place is well looked after. There's still people out there that are willing and happy to help out to build a place basically for monks to live in. And so we are starting up. We've got a property of 26 acres, and we're actually converting the horse stables into a living place for monks to live in. And at the moment, we have Ajahn Jaya, who's living with me, and Anagarika Rob, who is actually overdue to become a novice. So he's staying on as a Anagarika to help us out, because as you know, monks have our rules to keep, and if it was just the monks living alone in the rental, then it would be very difficult for us. So Rob he understands the situation that we're in, and he's actually happy to be an Anagarika until we figure something out. So that's where we are at the moment, and then we travel to the Stocker Road property, and yeah. So ever since the word was out, there's people helping out: electricians, plumbers, plumbers' wives, and they come in and help. We have a good time, you know. We laugh, we joke, we get serious. There's all different ideas. But the one thing I learn is you know, like as human beings, we're searching for ways of becoming more happier and having a more fulfilled life, and you know, we only get taught so much growing up in the West and being Australian, and then coming here sort of lets me know that you guys are open up to different ideas of what can I do to add more meaning or fulfill my life a little bit more. And what I've seen with this like project that we've started is like the people will come and help out. They seem to be happy to help out. I'm not sure. But they seem to be generally happy to help out. I was like, yes, you know. Like, you even have, like, 80-year-old, like, grandmas there doing the planting for us. And you ask yourself, you know, why are they doing that? It's because they're just doing something for other people. And I think that's a great thing. Like, the meaning of, like, generosity and trying to get the most benefit out of it is doing something for other people. Ajahn Brahm is like, I'm stealing this off of Ajahn Brahm. Doing something without expecting anything in return. Just giving wholeheartedly. You know, they're not there to get praised by the monks. They're not there, you know, to show off. They're just there to help out. And what that does, I think, is like it brings people together. We are social human beings. We need to interact. Otherwise what? Otherwise we might go cuckoo. You go cuckoo. And we need to interact and just like providing that opportunity for people to get together to do something which is like to do an act of giving. You can just see how much happiness that gives them. And it's not only once, you know. They come back the next week and the week after. And they keep on doing it. And the only thing that I'll probably give them is a cup of coffee. Maybe a few jokes. But they keep coming back. And you can sort of see that, you know, the life that, you know, the monks, I think if one of the lifestyle that a monk can take on is a lifestyle of like giving their time. You know, we're coming up here, we're giving a talk. You know, don't really want to do it, but you got to do it anyways. Otherwise, Ajahn Brahm will, I don't know what Ajahn Brahm will do. What is he going to do, Dennis? It's like, you know, it's like a part of just giving, and it's just one of the things that we get. It's like we get taught as Buddhists, like the, and you can see how much giving, you know, Ajahn Brahm does, and how much happiness that brings him, and how deep his meditation is. Meditation. That's what everybody wants, right? Deep meditation. And like I've known him for a long time. A lot of people know him as well. And he is, I think he's impressive. He's impressive. And you could say, like, each and every one of us, well, not each and every one of us, but some of us trying to figure out, now, how do I get the deeper meditations? How do I meditate well? How do I make my mind calm and peaceful? You do that by giving. And if you can give as much as Ajahn Brahm, now that's a lot to ask for. But, you know, if you can just give and just without expecting anything in return, you just feel good about yourself. And that feeling good about yourself, knowing that you're contributing to something which is going to be beneficial for yourself and the future, you feel good about yourself. And I think half of the enjoyment in life is feeling good about yourself. Have you ever noticed that when you're happy, the food tastes better? And you can have the same meal. But if you're in a cranky mood, what does the food taste like? What does mum's lasagna taste like? It doesn't taste so good, does it? And it all comes It all comes from this, you know, this mind of ours. And yeah, it's an amazing thing, this mind of ours. I noticed that you can use your mind to sort of like make people feel good. Just by giving them a little bit of kindness, you know, just giving them a little bit of attention, like listening to them, sharing a smile, saying hello, you know, these little things that we can do comes from the mind, the pure intention of the mind, and these things can make other people's day. And I've noticed that, you know, it's like, just be kind to people, but really mean it. And they know that it's, I was going to make a joke, but it's not appropriate. But, you know, you're just kind to people and you see how they react. It's a very simple Buddhist teaching. And that's like one part of Buddhism. And there's this whole other spectrum that monks can just talk and talk and talk about. But I think it just starts off with just the basic fundamentals. I was just like going through some of Ajahn Brahmali's talks, and he's like the, he knows the suttas back to front. And basically, one of the messages that I got from it was, whether you're at the beginning of the path or towards the end of the path, that element of just like kindness and joy, it's always present. It's not like you get to a stage in the path and then you can just be in like an unkind person. You know what I mean? It's not like this kindness, this goodness, is something that, you know, starts from the beginning and it's basic and everybody can do it. But it's something which carries through the path of Buddhism all the way to enlightenment. There's this sense of kindness and joy which is always there. So it's nothing to say, oh yeah, it's an easy practice. But it really is it? I remember when I was a kid, like I gave away, I like to give away stuff, especially when it's not mine. But that's my nature. And I remember, like, my dad, I'll get in trouble for this, so I feel like Robin Hood. So what I would do, I would take my dad's watches. He used to fix watches. And my mum would always tell me that whenever she was watching, would watch my dad fix watches, he could never fix them. It's kind of weird, but you know, sometimes that happens. But he'll fix all these watches, and there was like this really cool watch. And I just like took it. I took it and I just gave it to somebody. And I can't remember, I was really young when I did it, but I just gave it to them. And then afterwards, I went home, and my dad, where's the watch? And I'm like, I don't know. And he figured out that I gave it away. And then afterwards, I felt like Robin Hood. I committed a crime to make other people happy. But this was a long, long time ago. But then it's sort of like, it's kind of interesting, because the other day, because sometimes as a monk, you know, I go to my mother and I ask for stuff, and she says, if I give it to you, you better not give it to anybody else. Because she knows that if I don't use it, I'll give it to somebody else. And that's the thing, you know, you're just giving your, like, a possession. How hard is it? It's pretty hard for some people, right? Like giving something that belongs to yourself to another person. It's like it's something which is something that we haven't been taught when we were younger. But, you know, try it and see how that makes you feel. I mean, when I was growing up and in Perth, I didn't come across Buddhism, and like this idea of giving wasn't present with my friends and I. You know, if we go out, we'll buy our own tickets to the movie, or if we go out, we pay for our own food, and if we go out to the pub, we definitely pay for our own drinks because we get to drink it all. But then it was sort of like, I remember buying them drinks. And it's like something that never happened in our circle before, just buying your mates drinks. We're kind of young and stuff. And it was like, okay, that's kind of shocking. You know, what do I do now? And then my mates, he started to buy drinks for us. And we started to buy drinks for each other. And we felt good. We don't know if it was the kindness or if it was the alcohol, but we felt good. But then it's sort of like just opening up our minds to this idea of sharing. And it is true, you know, sharing is caring. But, we talk about all this stuff, but then it's like when we're living, like, I think, like, when you're talking about this, like, there's always different styles of Buddhism out there. You have the Tibetan, you have the the Mahayana, and you have like the, you know, what we do here. Like, you can understand that this is the, what we kind of teach here is the, you know, the just being good people, being kind to one another. Another thing is to like learn how to calm the mind down through the practice of meditation. And then from that calmness of the mind, then the deeper state, the deeper side of Buddhism, which is the enlightenment, the understanding of, you know, non-self, suffering, impermanence. So what we have here is maybe unique to other traditions, but, you know, sometimes, yeah, the deeper paths, the deeper side of this path is sometimes inconceivable, and it sometimes really hurts our head trying to think about it. And even Ajahn Chah, you know, Ajahn Chah was Ajahn Brahm's teacher, and he talked about just basically overthinking, and he said if you're a monk and you overthink, like, anything really, but he was talking about the deeper states of the practice. Like if you overthink the ideas of like non-self, your head will explode. So it's like, okay, when I heard that, I got the message. You know, it's like these deeper states is, yeah, you know, they're nice. They have a strong meaning, but you know, you don't have to think about it if you're sort of just walking, starting to walk this path or learning how to meditate, because these understandings will all come together once the meditation deepens. But, you know, putting the deeper ideas aside, what I really like about, you know, what is offered here is the practice of meditation. I mean, yeah, we can sit about here and talk about attitudes of mind and being good and things like that. But I think, you know, one of the main reasons why this place is here is because we want to teach people how to meditate. And I think through meditation, that's the closest connection I think you can get to the Buddha's teachings. Through meditation, you can actually feel and understand what kindness is. Through meditation, you can understand what a mind which is free from worry is. And through meditation, you get that clarity of mind to, like, see the world. Like I was saying, you know, like understanding the sensitivities of other people. You can't really do that if your mind is cluttered and is just full of stuff. Like, to, in order to interact with people, I think, on a skillful level, then there has to be some sort of clarity of mind there to be able to, you know, interact in a wise manner. And that's like, it's a practice. It's like, I've been doing it for a while. Chiaka's, Dennis has been around, Nicholas, Eddie. Still practicing, right? Yeah. And it's, and that's one of the lovely things, I think. I may be wrong, but just like living with Ajahn Brahm for a long time, you listen to his earlier talks. It's like, Nibbana or bust. You only got one life. But now he's relaxed a bit more. It's like more the softer approach. The you know, get your act together. Get your act together, but there's many lives approach. To the practice. If you know what I mean. It's like, yeah, there's many lives, right? But there's no excuse to be lazy. You know what I mean? You can still put that time into the practice. Yeah, meditate. You know, be good people and see what the results are. There's always, I think, results. Look at the results of what you're doing in your day, how you feel. That's the Dhamma, I reckon. If you're feeling good through your actions, that's good Dhamma. If you're feeling terrible, uncomfortable throughout the day doing what you do, that's bad Dhamma. You know, it's as simple as that, really. Yeah. And I'll end on that. Crack. Any questions? Yes, yes. Yes, ma'am. Oh, which one first? That was hard. Yeah.
Thank you, Ajahn, for tonight. It's always lovely to hear you laughing and smiling and lifting our hearts.
Oh, good.
And meditation is such a precious, beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I belong to a group of Buddhist people and we all chant.
Yes.
And I find every time I have a difficulty, I chant.
Yes.
If I see, you know, problems with people, I chant.
Yes.
You know, if there's something wrong in the car, I chant. and also we share that. And miracles have happened to people because we chant. It's
okay,
like,
yeah,
that's empowerment for us. If we're feeling really stuck about something, chanting actually changes the vibration.
Yes, yes.
And so, you know, I mean, meditation is beautiful. That's peace of mind. But
yes,
when you're really agitated, if you're angry or if you're really in deep grief, chanting is absolutely miraculous.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, and I'm just so grateful that, you know, that the Buddhism allows, well, not allows, but it gives us wonderful tools for helping the mind.
Yeah.
But also reflection is another wonderful thing, to actually reflect on the deeper meaning of things.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
So thank you for tonight.
No worries. Any more questions? Oh, Eddie. Go on, Eddie. It's not a Friday night without a question from Eddie, right?
Ajahn Santuti, yeah. Just listening to your talk, you know, yeah, it came to my mind what the Buddha was trying to tell us, you know, all right? Yeah. The Buddha was trying to tell us to look inside, you know, to find our happiness, you know. He was telling us we can't find happiness from outside,
yeah,
all right? Yeah. Now, coming to, on a broader sense, the world scene, the world, there's so much unrest in the world. You know? Okay, okay. So that's the, if you look at it, the thing, okay, those, well, unrest, you refer to those powerful countries, okay, they are looking outwards, you know, to try to find that greatness, you know, the happiness, which you can't manipulate things, wars, all these things, trying to find happiness, you can't find, you know, and spending so much time, and then outside, neglecting the inside, you know, and inside these countries, there's so much turmoil, you know, and disturbance, you know. Okay, maybe what you should do is to, you know, to for these countries to look inwards, you know, to find peace within yourself first.
Yeah.
Then you can think properly to give peace to the outside world. Then there could be peace for the whole world.
Global change, eh? It's very hard to do, but it's actually, I don't know if it's talked often enough, but like the world is healing because of this coronavirus. Things are becoming greener. There's less pollution in the air. The world can start to breathe again. So yeah, you know. I think like change has to be, like a lot of people have to get involved, you know, to make like a positive, strong change to whatever change you want to make. And yeah, like, you know, you're talking about certain countries and stuff like that, but I think there's always like pockets of people in within those countries who are trying to do the right thing. It's not everybody that's like that. Yeah. And it's so hard to judge, you know, how much information do you have to make a call on these things. Yeah. Alright. Anything else? No? Okay, I just answered this question. From Huntington, West Virginia. What's a good practice to let go of times when you have accidentally hurt someone, or you just think you've offended someone? Yeah, it's good practice. I think if you know that you hurt somebody, just you can apologize to them and try to learn from your lesson, and just tell yourself, I'll try not to do that again, and move on. That's all you can do. And I think if you're mindful enough and just with it, basically, you can make these adjustments to your life. And you know that, and it's just like reflection, you know, you use reflection is like what you've done and how you talk to somebody, that's the kind of reaction that they are giving you. So you tell yourself, should I be doing that? And usually the answer is no. So the next time when you get yourself into that situation, you make sure you don't talk about certain subjects or talk to this person in a certain way to avoid hurting them. Yeah. Yep. Cool. Okay. Finito. All right. Okay, we can bow 3 times to the Buddha Dhamma Sangha if you want to. Huh? That's it.